Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Have you ever heard of a man named Dirk Willems? He lived in a village called Asperen in what is now the Netherlands in the mid-1500s. And in 1569, he was caught, tried, convicted, and imprisoned. And his crime? He was an Anabaptist during the harsh Spanish rule of Holland. He'd been rebaptized as a young adult, as were some of his family members, and he believed in the authority and supremacy of the Holy Scriptures. And these were heresies in that time and place. He was imprisoned in a residential palace turned into a prison. He escaped by letting himself out a window with a rope made of knotted rags, and he dropping onto the ice that covered the castle moat. A palace guard saw him escape and pursued him. Dirk safely crossed the thin ice of a pond, the Hondegut, as he had lost much weight on the prison rations. However, his heavier pursuer broke through the ice. Hearing the guard's cries for help, Dirk turned back and rescued him. The ungrateful guard seized Dirk and led him back to captivity. This time, Dirk was put in a more secure prison, a small room at the top of a very tall church tower above the bell. He was probably locked in the wooden leg stocks that remain there today. Soon he was led out to be burned at the stake. Many people have been martyred for their faith throughout history. We have record of many, but some we'll only learn about in heaven. The story of Dirk Willems stands out because of his compassion for his pursuer. He shows us what loving our enemies is all about. Today, his story is preserved in books such as The Martyr's Mirror, in the Menahoff, the Anabaptist Museum that's in Shipshewana, Indiana, and in his hometown, which in recent times named a street after him. People knew that Dirk Willems was different. He truly showed his Christian character. Let's look for a minute at the life of Abraham. Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in all your families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him, and he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel to the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. God spoke to Abram, and he listened. Abram packed up his wife, his nephew, his staff, his considerable possessions, and began a long journey to an unknown place. He left behind other family, friends, and a way of life that was familiar to him. Abram was setting out to be different, to be a follower of God. In the account of Lot's capture and the rescue in Genesis 14, Abram again distinguishes himself as being different. He made no claim to the spoils of victory, instead giving God the credit and glory. Those around him saw a godly man of character and principle. How about Noah? Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds in the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is a genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. God was very sad. He was grieved in his heart. But Noah walked with God. He was different. And God gave Noah a task, a big task. Build an ark that will hold examples of my created animals, your family, and the food you'll need for the ordeal. In verse 22 of Genesis 6, it says, Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And as Noah labored those many years, he warned and he pleaded. The world didn't listen, but Noah stayed true to God. In Hebrews 11:5, it says this about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch had such a close walk with God that he had the privilege of escaping death. What an example his life must have been to those around him. The book of Daniel, we have the account of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They got new names, a new language, as captives in a new land, but they stayed true to God. Under the severest of tests and trials, they were not afraid to be different for God. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we have the account of Naaman and his leprosy. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. We don't know her name, but the Bible records the actions of a young girl, a captive servant, taken to a foreign land. She was not afraid to share what she had learned as a child, and God used it for good. The Bible is full of stories like these, of men, of women, and children who are willing to be different for God. Am I different? With God, nothing's impossible, but it's not likely that I will be called by God for some dramatic event like these we just talked about. But does the world know I'm different? Does the world know we're different? Many of you know that I and my sons recently returned from a mission trip to Brazil. It was a Maranatha-sponsored trip, and Dick Dirksen and his wife Brenda were on the trip. He's the host of the Maranatha Mission Stories, and to meet him in person is the same as watching him on TV. That's just how he is. And I'm not a storyteller, but here's a story he told me. He was with the Maranatha Volunteers Group on a safari in the Chobe National Park in Botswana. And he was with the last group to go out for the day. And the guide was a young woman, and she and Dick talked, and he has a real gift for interacting with people. And he found out that she loved her job. She worked 3 months there at the lodge and then had 1 month home with her family in a village that didn't have any electricity. And she'd been doing this for about 3 years. In the course of their conversation, she asked Dick if he was a Christian. And he said yes. And then she asked him what brand he was. And he said he was a Seventh-day Adventist. And so she squealed and she said she was too. Then she exclaimed, That's why nobody was buying beer today. And Dick asked her if she ever watched 3ABN or the Hope Channel, and she said that she did, but only when she was living there near the lodge to work. And he asked her if she ever watched the Maranatha Mission Stories segments, and She paused and looked at him and said, "Take off your hat." And he did, and she squealed, and she says, "You're that man." So the people watch us. You know, are we different? And on this mission trip, we needed a cook, someone that would make 3 vegetarian meals a day for about 60 people. And the hotel we were staying at allowed us to use a small part of their kitchen, but we needed a cook. And 1 week before the project started, a reference was found for an Adventist cook, and what a blessing she turned out to be. As the project progressed, we learned more of her story. Her name was Dulce, which means sweet in Portuguese. And when she was pregnant with their 11th child, her husband told her she had to choose, him or God. And she chose God. And her husband left her, basically to raise the children alone. It was hard, but God provided and got them through the tough times. But she wasn't done. Most of her children were out on their own, and someone came to her and asked her if she would take in a baby, a newborn. A woman was pregnant and wasn't going to have the baby, and Dulce said, "Yes, I'll raise that baby." Another woman came to her, a prostitute, and asked, "Will you take my baby girl? I don't want her to have the life that I have." And Dulce said, "Yes." Someone else came to her and says, "I know you've taken in babies. Would you consider 2 siblings who need a home?" Again, Dulce said yes and ended up with 4 siblings. Dulce has taken in 9 children besides her own 11. People saw she was different. She wanted to do what Jesus would have done. Perhaps the most special thing about Dulce is her faith in God. About 26 years ago, she started a church in her home. It grew and divided again. The one church that Dulce started is now 11 churches. The Adventist message is spreading fast in Brazil because people like Dulce who are willing to be different for God. What if? Some of you may already be at this point, but instead of keeping up with the Joneses, as the expression goes, what if my home was big enough? My car was good enough? My clothes were good enough. My electronics were good enough. My groceries were good enough. If I continued to work hard with the talents and abilities that God has given me and live beneath my means, what could I do? Could I feed an orphan in Haiti, send a girl in India to school in the future, support a missionary, drill a water well in Africa, buy medicine for a disaster victim, support a Bible worker, stock a local food pantry? Really, the possibilities are endless. If I live beneath my means, what could I do? What could we do? What would Jesus do? Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Starting with verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick, or in prison, and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Something is wrong when our lives make sense to unbelievers. Does the world know I'm different, that we're different? Can they tell? Can they see it? And we shouldn't have to tell unbelievers we're different, should we? Shouldn't they be able to tell? Yes, as Adventists, we are probably more different than other believers. We have the Sabbath truth, the health message, a better understanding of prophecy and end-time events. And these are all important, very important. But it's more than that. All through the Bible, we see that God is love, and he loves us all dearly. Are we showing that love to those around us? Do the cashiers at the grocery store know I'm different? Does the staff at the gas station I always stop at know I love Jesus? When my equipment breaks down and I need parts right away, can the parts guy tell I'm different? Does my CPA know I'm different? Most of you know we sell vegetables at the farm during the summer, and it's rewarding and fun, but it gets hectic and some days are wild chaos. Do my customers know I love Jesus? Do I and my family treat them like Jesus would? Can they tell? Do they see God's love? Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians has a lot to say about love. Starting in verse 4, it says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." That's a tall order to fill. But Jesus did it here on earth, and that's the character of God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they're waiting to help us. We let them. We're called to be in the world, but not of the world. Our lives should not make sense to unbelievers, but unbelievers should be curious. They should want what we have. My prayer today is that each one of us will let the love of Jesus shine through us, drawing others to God's love.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.